We bring to these microphones right now David James. David James has a regular piece of information on our website, prophecytoday.com. It's referred to as the David James Report. It's on the right-hand column of our homepage. You can go there. You'll be able to listen to previous conversations that we have had on issues that are important to the body of Christ. Also, there's some articles that David has written there as well. Have a very interesting topic to discuss with David today. And David, I hear that we're catching you on your way to Central Europe. What are you going to Europe for?
Yeah, that's right. I'm on my way to Hungary and Bulgaria. I'll be teaching at the Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary, and then on to Bulgaria with Word of Life to do a pastor's conference. In Hungary, I'll be teaching on dispensationalism, and in Bulgaria, we'll be discussing signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement with the pastors.
Well, we hope to catch you along the way. I believe you'll be there next Saturday. Then we'll try to catch up with you and see what we need to discuss. Well, today's topic is going to look at a special assembly of some 200 bishops in Rome. They've been holding this conference for the past 2 weeks, and a Hungarian has a primary role. Now, I know that you lived for about 16 years in Hungary. Talk to me about this conference that's going on with these 200 bishops and how influential is this Hungarian bishop.
Yes, this synod is called an extraordinary synod, meaning it's being called specially by the Pope, and the topic is the family. So they're discussing divorce, remarriage, what the nature of the family is, homosexuality, same-sex couples, how that relates to the church and all of that. And this Hungarian bishop, he's also been nominated as a cardinal. He's a cardinal. He is the head of the church in Hungary, the archbishop over Esztergom and Budapest. And in fact, some have even suggested that he may be one of the nominations for the next pope when that time comes.
Well, he is going to then, I'm sure, play a key role in what's going to happen. Now, let's talk about this special assembly in Rome. The topic, as you said, is the family. But as it's being put across the internet, it seems to be causing an earthquake. Explain that thought.
Right. It's causing quite a stir because it's dealing with issues in a way that seem to be a departure from the position that the Catholic Church has taken for centuries on these various issues. Again, the family, the nature of the family, homosexuality, the issues concerning divorce and remarriage, who can take communion. And so there seems to be a lot of reaction. Now, this particular synod is actually, this is 2 weeks, but it actually finishes up during an ordinary synod a year from now. And so these aren't official decisions that are coming out, but these are more or less opinions and views that will be subjected to further review and official decisions that will be coming out later.
Basically setting the stage for these new meetings that will take place in about a year. Well, you said they're focusing on the family. I know part of that is divorce and remarriage as it relates to the Catholic Church. What are they talking about in that particular issue?
Well, the official position of the Catholic Church has been that there is to be no divorce for a marriage, particularly one that takes place in the Catholic Church, but any marriage in general, even if it's a civil marriage, it's to be for life, and that there is not to be divorce. And then, obviously, if there's no divorce, then there should be no remarriage. And as it affects the average Catholic who might be in that position of having been divorced and or remarried, the church does allow those who have been divorced to take communion, which is the primary sacrament in the Catholic Church, where they believe that you actually receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and it's necessary for salvation. But for those who have been remarried, the church has officially denied that remarried people could actually partake in that sacrament. So it's actually a huge issue for a large number of Catholics who actually have been divorced and remarried.
Well, the other day when we were talking about some of the things we would discuss on this portion of our broadcast, you brought up an example of someone that you knew that really had this whole thing just kind of made it look ridiculous as to the church. Talk to me. Can you remember what you were talking to me about?
Yes. You know, there's this idea that the Catholic Church has official doctrines that are very rigid. The fact is the doctrines are rigid, but the way they're applied can be very flexible. For example, I know a person who had been married and had children, had been married not even in the Catholic Church, but then was divorced and ended up living with somebody for 20-plus years. But then as this person that she was living with was nearing the end of his life, he was a Catholic, she wanted to go ahead and marry him. And so she applied for an annulment, and an annulment is a statement by the Catholic Church that a marriage was never valid. It was never an official marriage. And so even though she had children and had been married 40 years before, divorced 30 years before, the Catholic Church stepped in and gave this annulment, allowing her to marry a Catholic and not be in violation of church doctrine. So, you know, there's this flexibility built in, so it's really hard to know exactly what is the way to correctly practice Catholic teaching.
Well, that would have left the children as if they had been born out of wedlock, would it not have? And that's not a good thing for the children who were totally innocent.
Well, that's right. And that's what you run into when you have this rigidity on the one hand and this flexibility on the other. There's no way to remain consistent. And you're right, it leaves what does that say about the children? So it's a very disturbing situation.
You're talking about rigid and then flexibility as well. By official definition, the Catholic doctrine cannot change. So how are these things going to affect the church's past positions?
It's a lot like what happened at Vatican II. Vatican II changed the face of the Catholic Church in the world. They went from the Latin Mass to Mass being said in the local languages. There were a lot of practical changes. So, for example, before Vatican II, a Catholic could not marry a non-Catholic. But the way the church's doctrines were being applied and interpreted and applied was completely changed at Vatican II. So what happens is you have a lot of people around the world who are now holding to different positions. Even Catholic priests within the church, who are all supposed to believe the same thing, believe different things. For example, my wife went to a Catholic college, and the priest who was the head of the theology department at that college, after my wife became a believer, she wrote him a letter and asked about the doctrines of hell, Satan, and purgatory. He said he didn't believe Satan was a person, even though the Catholic Church teaches that he is. He said he didn't believe that hell was a real place, even though the Catholic Church teaches it's a real place. And concerning the doctrine of purgatory, he said he didn't have any idea where that came from, even though that's an official Catholic doctrine. So you have this wide range of beliefs. People think that Protestantism has a wide range of beliefs, but the Catholic Church within it, even though they try to hide it, has a lot of different beliefs.
Let's talk about one of those beliefs. It's homosexuality or sodomy, whichever you call it. Is the Catholic Church no longer going to take a view that homosexuality, sodomy, is sin? Is that what they're trying to make a decision in this conference?
I think they're moving that direction. Like I said, there are no official statements being made, but there are views, and one of the changes that is being made is that they're tending not to call certain behavior sin. For example, two people living together out of wedlock is not called sin any. It's been suggested that not be called sin. And with regard to homosexuality, now they're adjusting things to say that homosexuals have gifts and talents to be offered to the church. Well, that means that you're accepting them in the church if you're going to utilize their gifts and talents. And they're doing it partly under the guise, I would say, of children who are actually are in families where, if you call it a family, where there are same-sex parents. So it's creeping in, and I think it's definitely a move in this direction. And if you think about the pedophilia scandal within the church and the large number of homosexuals in the priesthood, this has to have significant implications for the church as a whole.
And they're walking away from what God's Word says there in Romans chapter 1, that God turns these people to be reprobates.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And now many people who would normally have been considered being living in sin, if you're not considered living in sin, then you're not going to be called upon to repent and get your life in line with the Word of God. So this begins to turn the whole idea of the family, which is the core of civilization, and even the marriage between a husband and wife, that is to reflect the Lord's relationship with a believer. In fact, that is used many times as an illustration. Marriage is an illustration of the believer's relationship to God. So it completely destroys that whole picture.
Well, let me set at ease anybody who may be eavesdropping on this conversation. Neither David nor I believe that the Catholic Church offers the absolute biblical true way to salvation. That really, if you follow the doctrines of the Catholic Church, you cannot know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we're not setting up the Catholic Church as the foundation stone for all of Christianity. We're talking about it in light of what's going on. Now, having said that then, David, this thing of sodomy or homosexuality, the idea that the Catholic Church is wavering on a absolute doctrine from the Word of God, this will then have end-time implications, will it not?
Well, I think it has many potential end-time implications. For one, the Catholic Church, rather than going through another split like happened at the Reformation, the umbrella keeps expanding to embrace all ideologies, all philosophies, and ultimately all religions, so that we're experiencing the Catholic Church expanding its umbrella to be able to embrace anybody, no matter what they believe, no matter how they live. That has definite end times implications. And I think specifically, this issue of homosexuality and changing its stance on that. Going back to the book of Daniel, you and I have talked about this before, there seems to be indications that the Antichrist himself may well be a homosexual. And if the world is being prepared, even in the Catholic Church itself, which is a billion people, to change its view, then that plays directly into that possibility right there.
And, of course, Revelation chapter 17, though the word Catholic is not in the passage there, it seems to be describing what will be the headquarters for the International Radical False Church that will be set up in Rome, Italy, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. David, a very important conversation that we've had today. I hope people will want to re-listen to this or tell a friend about our conversation. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network, is where you can find this interview and re-listen to it. Hey, journeys, mercies as you travel. We're hoping to talk to you when you're in Europe, David. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jimmy.